Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with Ray Allen, Ray engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass. Not that we wouldn't welcome him on this side of the glass on this Monday, the 24th of July, 2017. Yes, I have asked on Facebook for a brief respite from the rain. Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, I was complaining about, where are the rains? Where are the rains? And complaining about how hot it was. But if anyone took a look at my Facebook post, how we got hammered with kind of a microburst, like 3 inches in about an hour on Saturday night. And as I said, there goes the driveway. So I'm just asking for a reprieve for just at least maybe a couple of days without rain. The Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040, our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery Fine Framing. And family-owned, of course, and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com, and of course, they're on Facebook. With us today on our Monday political face-off, we have Mr. Bruce Ash. Bruce is in his fourth term as Republican National Committeeman for Arizona, and Jeff Rogers, the former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Was the rain as intense, Jeff, at your neck of the woods? And I know you used to live up in my neck of the woods, and you're probably lucky you weren't up there.
Probably. We got a lot less rain than you did, I think.
Yeah.
I surveyed some of that when I went out to my horses over the weekend, and some of the Fletcher Caida area got hit really hard, really, really hard.
Roads did not look real great. And Bruce, your place is okay. I know you were away for the weekend, but you came home and no damage.
Yeah, I live around the corner from Jeff, actually, and the trees and the flowers all look nice. And Bill, be careful what you wish for sometimes.
I know, okay.
Because I think all of the monsoon came down on top of your place.
It did. It's probably a payback for what I've been saying here on the radio. Some breaking political news, and then we'll get on to the topic that I want to talk about that I scheduled you guys to talk about. But Jeff Lattis, the JetBlue commercial airline pilot who did run Jeff Rogers for Congress, maybe 10 years ago, was it?
Yeah, he was beat by Eva Bacall.
That's right.
She won the primary and then went down to defeat against Jim Colby.
Okay, well, Jeff announced today that he had an exploratory committee about CD2, but he announced today he is not running, and he is throwing his support to one of the candidates that is running, and that's former state lawmaker and former Tucson City Councilman Bruce Wheeler.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that when you look at the top tier and middle tier and lower tier candidates, while I think both of those people would make great congressmen, I don't think either one of them really was probably in the mix for potentially winning that seat. I think right now you have to probably look at Hines, Kirkpatrick, and Madieya as the probably potential leaders to win that spot.
Kind of going by name recognition, certainly with Kirkpatrick and Hines.
Yeah, certainly they've got a lot more name recognition. And Hines, because he's ran before and actually ran twice before. But I think that's probably the three leaders of the pack.
Uphill battle, Bruce Ash, for the Dems?
Well,
I know Martha's got a lot of money, yeah. Certainly.
Well, just talking about the Democratic primary for a second.
Okay.
And I know we're going to talk about civility later.
We are.
You know, I've known Jeff for a long time, and we've both known Bruce Wheeler for a long, long time.
A long time.
And, of course, Jeff's going to agree with him about a lot more things than I'm going to agree upon with him. But you know what? Bruce has always been a very, I think, thoughtful fellow.
He is.
He is a hard worker. I mean, this is really very much ingrained in who he is, you know, serving people. And, you know, if Bruce Wheeler was the congressman, I mean, I wouldn't be very happy at all that Martha wasn't successful. But, you know, I would be happy, though, if Bruce was the Democratic candidate. He's a good guy.
And, he really is.
And
yeah.
and he's fought for a lot of things that have made sense, and they've been successful. He's actually done some things, I think, that were, you know, bipartisan in nature. And so, you know, look, if Jeff's going to not run, supporting Bruce isn't altogether a bad thing. I think it's going to be difficult for a Democrat to win in this district. And Jeff, you may not agree with me, but I think the more they pound on the president and the more they pound on Martha for certain votes that they take, is going to draw more people out to the polls. And I think it will remain in Republican hands in 2018. She's worked very, very hard. Martha disproved my theory that, you know, you can do things for people who aren't in your party as a congressman and nothing good will happen from it. They're still going to vote for the Democrat the next time. But, you know, she got good support, you know, kind of crossover support in this last election, won by a heck of a lot more people, you know, votes than people thought. And I think she's looking good in this election.
Well, I think that probably her ties to Trump are going to hurt her a great deal. And as was revealed during that secretly taped speech that she gave to a bankers association, she's justifiably worried that this president is going to take a lot of people down with him. And I think that's a genuine risk. Now, the reason I think that those other three people are probably a little stronger candidates is that Bruce has not shown a real great ability to raise a lot of money. And this is a district in which you're going to have to spend a fair amount of money in order to win that district.
How much?
Well, you're going to probably need to raise at least $1 million. I mean, that's that not for the primary, but you're going to have to raise at least that, and you're going to have to get some interest from the DCCC in this seat. I mean, if we look all across the nation at the potential seats that the Democrats could pick up, this seat is actually the closest one in the registration numbers of between Democrats and Republicans. This is a true swing seat for both the Democrats and the Republicans. Now, if you get entrenched like Colby did, you can hang on to that seat for a really long time. But I wouldn't say that McSally's reached that level of entrenchment, although she has a rather outstanding ability to raise money. But if you look at her burn rate on her money, the money is less meaningful because she spends a lot of that money to raise money. And so she has one of the most notoriously high burn rates of campaign cash of any candidate I've ever seen.
What, burning through the money?
Yeah, there are a lot
burning
of people.
Burning it to
raise money. Yeah,
oh.
Yeah, to raise money. I mean, if you're spending 50% of your money to raise money, mm-hmm. then you're not efficiently using your money. And in the past, she's had very high burn rates like that. But I think she's gonna really get hammered with Trump, and I don't think you can underestimate the power of the negativity that is felt towards this president, at least if it continues in the manner it does. And it seems to grow with a new head of steam every day with something new that he does or says.
Well, this is sort of the liberal echo chamber that Jeff and a lot of Democrats live within. In the Republican ranks, and in a lot of the independent ranks, and this district is a swing district, maybe because of the independents, the high percentage of those numbers, they believe Trump speaks for them. They believe Trump acts on their behalf. They like the fact that he made promises that he's already delivering on. Not all of them, by any stretch, with the help of Congress, that hopefully will come. But they like the fact that this is a president who is a game changer. He's not dependent upon the Republican Party. He's dependent upon the surge of voter intensity that comes with making the kinds of promises that he's made and the promises that he's delivered on.
All right, we're going to take our break right here because I am going to change topics, talk a little bit about civility when we come back. 790-2040, 790-2040. It's the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowland Dodge. We'll be right back.
American Openings is pleased to sponsor Hands of Hope. Hands of Hope believes every life matters, and they're committed to walking alongside women to provide confidential, non-judgmental care so they can make the best decisions when unsure about continuing with a pregnancy. You can learn more about Hands of Hope at GiveHopeTucson.com. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer and is blessed to be a sponsor of a local ministry doing so much to protect life. The wet and wonderful monsoon season brings more than just rain as Tona Chule hosts local growers and nationally renowned plant experts for this year's annual Monsoon Madness Sale. For more than just plant nerds, anyone can come to buy the weird and wondrous and learn plant care from the professionals. Tona Chule's Monsoon Madness Plant Sale is Friday, July the 28th from 3 to 7 p.m. and Saturday, July the 29th from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Come see us at 7366 North Paseo del Norte or visit our website at tonachulepark.org.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We bring you national stories ignored by the mainstream media. Sources include the Washington Times News Service, Personal Liberty Digest, the National Center for Policy Analysis, the Washington Free Beacon, and the Heartland Institute. It is national news coverage from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Tuesday, we'll meet the new leader of the Tucson Realtors Group. Plus, we'll talk with Democrat Bruce Wheeler. Mr. Wheeler is hoping to be a United States Congressman from District Number 2. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, with worldwide live listening podcasts and our archive on my website, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. Those numbers of rain, the foothills, we're leading the pack. How about that? 8 inches of rain in the two-week period. It all began 2 weeks from today, 2 weeks ago. Mount Lemmon, though, is really the leader at 10.5 inches of rain since the monsoon began.
It's the great thing, though, about rain coming at Mount Lemmon and up in the foothills, mm-hmm. all of that gets in the riverbeds. All of that gets recharged.
Yep.
You know, I mean that's the best news for the water.
And the Rito was running pretty heavy yesterday.
Yeah, it was. It is the Monday Political Face-Off. Bruce Ash is here and Jeff Rogers. The Face-Off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Saw Moe on Saturday. They're doing very well, and they encourage everybody to come by. You can't beat what they do. I know Bruce Ash is a huge fan. They love Bruce Ash over there. He brings them some really great jobs, some of them rather complicated, and that's what they like. They get a nice complicated job. They like to do it. All right. When the news came out Wednesday, I believe it was, about Senator McCain, that he had probably the worst type of brain tumor when it comes to cancer, I was honored that Voice of America called me up and asked me for some comments about Senator McCain. And I was on the international edition of VOA's program, which is heard in only 180 countries, so that's pretty cool. And I said that, yes, he's a controversial figure, Bruce and Jeff, but when it comes to this particular health issue, I thought folks would come together and wish him well. Bruce Ash, I was wrong.
Well, you were wrong in some regard. There is a small number of people who have come forward demanding that he resign, and some thinking that, you know, they are the ones who should be considered by the governor to replace him until the midterm elections in 2018. You know, the senator is going to make the right decision for himself and his family and also for the country. He has served this country since he graduated from high school and went into the Naval Academy, since he was 18 years old, and he's, I think, 80 years young at this point in time. You know, I've had cancer twice in my own life, and I know how serious cancer is. I know the severity of the case that it's reported Senator McCain has. This is a guy who did 5.5 years in the Hanoi Hilton, and if anybody is going to either A, have a chance to beat this, or B, be the person who, in whatever remaining time he has in the U.S. Senate, do the very, very most as he sees fit, and working with his colleagues, it'll be him to do it. And some of the things that have been said have just been, they just sort of make one sick reading them and hearing them. But it's a very, very, very small sliver of people who are saying these sorts
one
of things.
One would hope.
They're magnified, you know, in social media like Facebook and Twitter and what have you. It would appear that there are all kinds of Republicans saying these things and all kinds of people in general saying these things. It is a small little sliver. And, I mean, that's the thing that I sort of try to remind myself all the time when things like this happens. And you know, look, everybody at some point in time has had a case of McCain derangement. Mm-hmm. We all have. Mm-hmm. I have. I admit it. You know, because he does things at times that just kind of like, why did he say that? Or what this isn't good for us. You know, why isn't he with us on this? But this is a man, whether you agree with him or not, has done some pretty unbelievably great things all through his adult life, and will continue to do those things as he see fits until such a time that he can't carry on any further.
Jeff Rogers.
Well, I'm proud to say that none of those voices we're talking about are coming from Democrats. And it's not because we have any great love for John McCain. I think I pretty much disagree with him almost all the time, except for foreign policy matters, where I find that he and I see eye to eye on more things. I also think he's one of the few people with Lindsey Graham and very few others who are keeping this president's feet to the fire, particularly in foreign policy issues, where this president has made more than a few mistakes of late. But you know, I couldn't agree more with Bruce. This is a man who served his country honorably and then served us in the House and the Senate for decades. And whether you agree with him or disagree with him, I find he's always been an honorable man. And I think the epitome of that was when he was campaigning against Barack Obama and a woman in the crowd called him a Muslim. And he stood up and said, no, I may have policy disagreements, but this is a man who's a Christian and an American and is to be respected. And that for me kind of sums up John McCain and the kind of man that he is and the kind of decent person that he is. And so while I disagree with him often and I'm quite vocal about that, my heart goes out to him and his family because he is a great man.
Look, when John wakes up in the morning and he has to shave his face, he's looking in the mirror and he wants to see the kind of man that he wants to see. The kind of man that he's been for all of these years is something really to behold. And there's lots of young men and women who are thinking about a career in public service, thinking about perhaps a career in the military, serving our country there. And you look at a man like John McCain, and that's a kind of father figure, if you will, that you want to aspire to. You know, his grandfather died literally, I think, within 1 week of returning from the Second World War. His dad served literally up until almost the moment that he couldn't serve physically anymore, and he died in a very short period of time thereafter. I always felt that John would leave the Senate, you know, with his boots on, you know, and you know, we'll see what happens here. You know, Senator Kennedy, I think some of the reports are they have the same
kind
of cancer.
And Kennedy lasted 15 months from diagnosis. Beau Biden had the same cancer, albeit a much younger man. He lasted almost 24 months from diagnosis to death. So it's likely a death sentence. But as Bruce said, if anybody can beat it, he's a pretty tough guy.
I'm not saying we cannot debate should he resign and what would happen.
What I'm saying is
people who are going to say, go ahead and die, and there are people who, a former state senator, Kelly Ward, who ran unsuccessfully against John McCain, was on a radio station in your home state of Indiana. Mm-hmm. Jeff Rogers gave an interview to a station.
Well, don't blame that on Jeff. He had nothing to do with that.
Said basically that he should resign because of the health issue, but then went on to suggest that Governor Ducey push her name to the
top of the list. Not only that, but that she was
the list.
Because she had run against him and lost in the Republican primary, that she was the person that should be considered first for the job.
Well, I think she's one of the last people who would ever be considered by Governor Ducey, and I don't know Governor Ducey well for sure, but I can't imagine that. You know, she just doesn't have good taste, let's say.
Yeah.
There is a strategy that I'll bet you Senator McCain and his family and his staff are looking at right now in terms of the votes that have to come and his ability to attend and participate in those votes. There is a legitimate conversation,
sure,
but that's what it should be, is a conversation.
About what is the next step.
Right.
Robert is with us. Let's see if we can work Robert's call in here. Hello, Robert.
Hello, gentlemen. The A-10 aside, because that's a relatively new success story, I always got the impression that McCain worked for the state of Maricopa.
Hmm.
And there was no reason for him to come to Pima County because he's too blue. And throughout his career, he bragged about how little pork he was willing to round up for his state. So I've never been a big fan of him, although I am a Republican. And national aside, what do you guys have to say about McCain and his pretty highways in Maricopa?
Okay.
Well, let me just give you an insight with respect to pork. Neither he or John Kyle, who preceded Jeff Flake, or Jeff Flake publicly pronounced that they are for pork and go out and get it. But the three of them have worked considerably during their period of time that they've served in the Senate to make sure that these various things do happen for the state of Arizona. And in terms of Maricopa versus Pima, there are some times when I kind of feel as though we got left out. But part of that's the lack of representation that we've always had. And probably cities like San Diego feel the same way in comparison with Los Angeles or San Francisco. And you could look the same in other states as well. So they have all done the pork thing, but they do it sort of in an inverse sort of a fashion.
Robert, that's always been a complaint that was leveled against Kyle and McCain. Not only was Tucson considered the sort of redheaded stepchild, but also that they just didn't bring home our tax dollars back to Arizona, even in Maricopa County and elsewhere. But I think that particularly with Kyle, he would wear that as a badge of honor, that he wasn't somebody who engaged in that because he didn't believe in it. But I've always believed that your representatives and senators ought to do the best they can to bring some of those tax dollars back home to our taxpayers.
Well, say this about John Kyle. There probably is nobody in the last 100 years, and I would include in that category Carl Hayden, Mo Udall, or Barry Goldwater, who have done more to secure water rights for the state of Arizona than John Kyle. What he engineered will help the state continue to grow at a very fast pace for the next century.
Greg, real quickly, I'm out of time, but I'd like to hear what you have to say, please.
Thanks, Bill. I only need 30 seconds to say that seeing Senator McCain all these years and work with both sides of the aisle, in fact, Senator Coburn and Senator McCain were instrumental in pointing out how the Social Security Disability Program has been just a huge, the biggest boondoggle, with monies going to psychiatrists who certify people. And he's saving, he's doing something that I don't see a lot of folks doing in Congress now, which is working with both sides. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you, Craig. All right. Bruce Ash, Jeff Rogers, out of time here. I appreciate your time, both of you, in coming in. Thank you very much.
Pleasure. You're
quite welcome.
All right. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, moesgallery.com, and on Facebook. Thank you, Moe and family, for your support of our program. Coming up on 12:31, we'll be right back. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, one of our fine sponsors, urges all Southern Arizonans, take a three-hour road trip. It is going to be worth your while. It's a beautiful portion of the southwestern United States and the southwest corner of New Mexico. It's a little bit cooler over there because of their elevation of kind of the same elevation as Denver. So it's a really pretty area, historic Silver City, and then there's the Gila National Wilderness. So much to do. Great recreation opportunities, all of them listed on their website, Southwest New Mexico, spell it out, .org, the great places to stay as well. The University of Arizona-based National Institute for Civil Discord course. Why don't we start that one again? All right. The University of Arizona-based National Institute for Civil Discourse was born out of the Tucson shooting tragedy of January 2011 that left 6 people dead and wounded 13 others, including former Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords. All were participating in a Congress on Your Corner event. With me in studio, Dr. Carolyn Lukensmeyer, the executive director of the National Institute for Civil Discourse. And that's an organization that works to reduce political dysfunction and incivility in our political system. Dr. Lukensmeyer previously served as founder and president of an organization called America Speaks, an award-winning nonprofit group that promoted nonpartisan initiatives. Dr. Lukensmeyer, thanks for being with us.
Well, I'm delighted to be here. Thank you for having me.
A little bit of the history of your organization. It was really a matter of days that this group kind of was created.
Absolutely, Bill. After President Obama was here in Tucson for the memorial service, Fred Duvall, who was then the president of the Board of Regents, and Meredith Hay, who was then the provost of the University of Arizona, came together afterwards and said, something good has to come out of this tragedy. And I always have thought it's been an extraordinary credit to Gabby and who she is and was as a leader and how much people loved her. The university made the decision to move forward on that in 10 days.
Wow.
The office formally opened in May. The university did about 15 months worth of really excellent research on what is civility, what is incivility, how can we find leverage points to impact it. And then I was brought on board in July of 2012 to create social action programs.
And if I read it right, looking at social media, I would think there isn't much civility out there right now.
Well, as you slipped and called it the Institute for Civil Discord,
yes.
I couldn't help but think that's pretty appropriate, Bill.
Civil discord, indeed. What do you make of the really nastiness that's going around on social media these days when it comes to politics? But it's not just politics. It gets nasty and people get real personal, it seems, on social media.
Well, the dilemma on social media is it allows there to be an immediate reaction to every stimulus. So a person sees something, they read something, they hear something, and they just flip on and speak out. where the way we're wired, literally in our brains, in terms of connecting our rational centers to our emotional centers, there needs to be a pause between the stimulus and the response. And yet now we have a ubiquitous technology that supports people just plunging ahead. We work a lot with state legislators, and we have had some fascinating discussions with many of them. When they see negative things on social media, when they can track back to who actually posted it, they actually pick up the phone and call them. And their experience is every time they actually connect with the person, they immediately back off and say, well, I probably exaggerated. I was really emotional at the moment. No, I didn't mean that. I don't really think you are, whatever it may be. So there's some pretty good evidence that if there's some way in which you're a real person to me before I speak.
Yeah, if this, would these people be saying it, in other words, face to face to somebody?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Interesting point. 790-2040 if you would like to join in the conversation talking about the state of civility and how do you kind of assess what the state of civility is in this country.
Well, fortunately, one of the world's largest media communications PR firms called Weber Shandwick, the CEO of Weber Shandwick made the decision 7 years ago to start an annual Civility in America survey. They did their survey in 2016 post the presidential election and released their results in mid-January. What they found was very sobering, Bill. So now they have 7 years of tracking this data. At this point, 75% of Americans across the country say that incivility is a crisis. 73% of Americans express concern that the United States of America worldwide is no longer seen as a nation standing for civility.
It's pretty bad.
It's pretty serious.
On the other side of the coin, some would say that civility or incivility has always been with us since really the founding of this country.
Well, there isn't any questions.
Yeah.
Politics is a blood sport, and we've been through many cycles. Mm-hmm. You know, in modern times, no member has caned another member on the floor of the House of Representatives.
Which did happen.
It did.
Yeah.
So political historians are now looking at this and saying right now is the highest degree of incivility and disrespect since Reconstruction, since post-Civil War. When in fact many in the southern states wanted to ensure that equality of the races did not occur. So in that era, it was very race-based incivility. Now we're seeing it pretty ubiquitously. Post the election, we got hundreds of emails and social media messages, particularly around Thanksgiving. How am I going to spend Thanksgiving when Uncle John is going to be there?
Oh, my.
So it's gotten very close and very personal, even in our intimate relationships.
How about as far as we had a question on Facebook. Someone was wondering, do you have representatives from your organization that can speak to groups here in Tucson? This particular man that Facebooked me was a representative for a Rotary Club. Will you go to local organizations?
Absolutely. We have a staff here in Tucson that spends considerable time being present with local organizations. And I'm love to hear that it's a Rotary Club because we actually have found Rotary Clubs as very good partners to take the kinds of materials that we've created. We've created some tools, some materials to revive civility and respect, and we're looking for local organizations that want to partner with us to bring many, many Tucsonians into those conversations.
We also had some friends of ours who were listening to our morning program. You were on that program, I think, a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago, and it was brought up that your group had not spoken out against a death threat to Congresswoman McSally.
Actually, we did actually speak out about that. We evidently didn't do it as quickly as whoever spoke to, whoever asked that question. But, we've seen now the actual shooting of Representative Scalise at the baseball field in Alexandria. So we have really been tracking as closely as we can any of those incidents when they occur and really do speak up about them.
Would you like the city and the city council to take some kind of a statement about that, saying some kind of a stand about condemning it?
Well, Mayor Rothschild actually declared May as Tucson Civility Month, and that began partnerships with lots of organizations in town. Our core partners at the launch were, in fact, Ben's Bells and the Center for Community Dialogue. And those organizations and tens of others are really inviting people in Tucson to really come together. The idea, Bill, is we've lost the capacity to have a real conversation with people who think differently than we do. We've otherized them, for lack of a better word. You know, people who voted for Hillary are still vilifying and demonizing Trump voters, and Trump voters are still doing the same to Hillary voters. That hasn't happened in the country again since Reconstruction. Mm-hmm. So this is now between us, the American people. And what we need is people to really stand up and speak out to say this is unacceptable. If we're going to live together in our communities, of course we're going to disagree on big issues. In Arizona, certainly it would be immigration issues and the wall. But it doesn't mean that I have to be unfriendly with my neighbors. It doesn't have to mean that I somehow judge them as less moral people.
All right, we're going to take our break here. Dr. Carolyn Lukens-Meyer, the Executive Director of the National Institute for Civil Discourse, is with us on the Buckmaster Show. 790-2040, if you would like to join in and enhance our conversation. We'll be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the program presented by Green Things. Everything green, and boy, has it greened up over at Green Things on their 13 acres with 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. They're at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River Walk, and they're on the web at greenthingsaz.com, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Go to their website. They have these great gardening workshops that are very popular in the community, and they're free. I love to garden, and Jan and Jack, the owners, do really a beautiful job, a destination spot, let's put it that way, for everybody who loves gardening in our community. With me in studio is Dr. Carolyn Lukensmeyer, Executive Director of the National Institute for Civil Discourse. This was an organization that was born out of the Tucson shooting tragedy of January 2011. We were talking, Dr. Lukensmeyer, about after the Civil War, this country was a mess, for want of a better word. And there are similarities with what we're seeing right now. And I'm wondering, what is it that fosters these types of condition that open the door to a really incivility, basically?
Well, what the researchers say, both political science and sociologists, is that this kind of incivility tends to arise at a time when there is a clash that seems almost like in the Civil War, our lives depend on this. In the current context, what researchers are suggesting is that this antipathy and this focus of anger at other groups of Americans is very much connected to income inequality and very much connected to millions of Americans whose lives have been really profoundly disrupted beginning in the 80s. Mm-hmm. We first began to lose manufacturing jobs. I lived in Ohio at that time. Ohio lost a quarter of a million manufacturing jobs in 3 months.
Overseas or to automation or both?
That time it was to overseas.
Okay.
Now it's automation,
yes,
much
it is.
More than overseas.
Yes. Yes.
So this inability to see a path to live the American dream, and then I see other people who seem to be easily living that dream, or from my perception, are getting government help to do that, that has built up a kind of anger and frustration and a sense of it's not fair. It's profoundly not fair.
Let's take a call here at 790-2040. Dan, go ahead.
Yes, I'm very interested in what she's saying. I'm not quite sure who's paying her to do this, but why hasn't she brought up the fact that how in the Congress our Democrats are speaking so violently and so mean toward our newly elected president?
Okay, thank you, Dan. So it's been going both ways, that's for sure.
It has been going both ways. And
first of all, how are you funded, to answer Dan's question?
Dan, I'm delighted to share with you that our funding comes from foundations that are interested in supporting this kind of work to strengthen democracy, and from private donors. There's no money from the state of Arizona's budget involved in supporting our work. You have to look at this as cycles. Many people would have said that when Barack Obama was elected, that Republicans were actually speaking that negatively about him. And now we've just seen the swing, so that we seem to be whipsawed back and forth. Whoever wins is then attacked by the other party. What you may be interested in, Dan, is the Pew Center for the People and the Press has been doing polling for two decades, I believe, in terms of Democrats and Republicans' perceptions of each other. So this is not just in Congress where this is hardened, but today most Democrats don't trust most Republicans, vice versa. Most Republicans think Democrats lie, vice mm-hmm. versa. And it's even gone to the stage where a very high percentage of people in both parties do not want their children to marry someone of the other party.
Oh, my goodness. It's gotten to that point. So how do we turn this around? How do we get back to being somewhat nonpartisan?
Well, the National Institute for Civil Discourse has embarked on an initiative to revive civility and respect. And we hope that every one of your listeners will join in that work here in Tucson and the greater area surrounding Tucson. Just go to our website, nicd.arizona.edu, and you'll find a pledge, literally a set of ideas about how to bring civility into your own life. And then the second step is to engage in conversation with, and we'll help do that. We've got scripts to do it. We've got conversation guides to do that, where you actually identify. Maybe it's someone else in your congregation or your synagogue who you know voted for the other candidate, and you haven't really had a good conversation with that person since the election. So sign up to sign the pledge, engage, and then help us organize for other people in your community. Could be Rotary clubs that were on earlier, or I guess that was on Facebook.
Yes, it was.
We found it from businesses, hospitals, schools.
You've been doing a lot of work in a couple of states, right? Ohio, Maine, and your home state of Iowa, specifically Ohio. You've made a real push in that state, and I wondered why that particular state.
Well, one of NICD's most impactful programs has been a training process we do with state legislators called Building Trust Through Civil Discourse. And Ohio is one of the states that we have done the largest number of legislators. So these people are part of our ambassadors to bring civility into other communities. And it also happens that there are some other nonprofit organizations. In Cincinnati, Ohio, a group of civic leaders created something called Beyond Civility, which has actually been operating for about 5 years. So we were able to link with other organizations already doing this work.
All right. Where do you go from here? What's next for your group?
Well, we first launched in this deep work here in Arizona in April. Mm-hmm. In July, we launched in Ohio. In September, we'll be launching in Maine. And in October, we'll be launching in Iowa. And if we get more resources, we'll move on to other states. But we wanted to reach out to touch as many organizations and as many people. You know, this is now like a virus amongst the American people. It's not just in our politics. It's between you and I as people. And the only way to deal with that is to step back, take a deep breath. You know, I better learn to listen to understand, not just to argue. And it's amazing the kind of transformation that happens very, very quickly.
I had a call from Walter, and he wanted you to address that your organization is primarily, how do you keep from being left or right? I mean, how do you try to play it down the center as kind of neutral, a neutral listening body and a springboard to get a dialogue going?
Walter, it's a great question. And again, I'd invite you to look at our website, because we started out by creating a national advisory board. and it's filled with both Democrats and Republicans who are former members of Congress. Mm-hmm. It also has some key people in the media. Each one of our projects that we take on, we also invite leaders in that community from the whole range ideologically, and from frankly, in every kind of different subgroup in the population. So we are absolutely dedicated to being nonpartisan.
And again, where can people find out more information if there's someone that would like a local speaker here in Southern Arizona? What is the first step?
Just go to our website, and the email is info@nicd.email.arizona.edu.
And you could probably Google National Group for Civil Discourse or whatever.
You'd find us. You'd find us.
And it would come up. I still can't get over that some families won't let a daughter or a son marry outside a particular political party.
Well, I don't know if they can stop them, but they don't want them to.
Right, they don't want them to. They definitely encourage them to go a certain way, right? Dr. Carolyn Lutensmeyer, thank you very much.
Bill, it's been a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you very much
for having me.
Our pleasure. We have more local talk this afternoon. Mike Check with Mike Shaw. Ray Allen will be helping Mike out as usual, doing a great job for Mike. We do 3 hours in the morning with Wake Up Tucson. Then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you. And we will be following up on that kind of breaking political story. Bruce Wheeler will be our guest. He is a CD2 candidate and one of the candidates who've been talked about running. Jeff Latta says he is not running in CD2, and he's throwing his support to Bruce Wheeler. And Bruce will be my guest tomorrow on The Buckmaster Show. So until then, at 12:04 tomorrow afternoon, on behalf of my friend, engineer, producer Ray Allen, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.